good music.
Oh, yeah. It's nice. Nice. It's Let that play.
Isolated gust of a horn.
You know, that's what meteorologist Jordan Sherman sent.
Yes, I know. I know. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome. It's Friday, the 4th of December. It's very nice to have you with us. We have a, I think, pretty good show today. So we'll
try to ruin
get
it.
To it. You know, try to get it off in good fashion, try to get it off the ground. We have, we're going to be talking to both you and I. We're students of the College of St. Rose. And,
yes.
And we're going to be
talking. You were more an eminent student than I was, clearly. But, yeah.
We're going to be talking to the president of the college later on, 11:30 this morning. Carolyn Stefanko will be with us. And the school is having some budget issues, $9 million in debt.
Yeah.
And so we'll be talking about that and other things. So that'll be coming up on the program. And we'll also, we'll talk about New York City being on a grid. We'll talk about civic agriculture.
What kind of grid?
Well, when New York City was basically created, it was the grid of the streets.
Oh, the streets.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So that you could actually have
not
an
like
intersection.
The power grid.
No, I thought it was already on the power grid.
Yeah. Yes.
Clearly.
Yeah. Well, that's new too. Right?
Really.
So we'll talk about all of that.
Okay.
Let's get to the panel, though, and let me introduce our panelists to you. We have quite a group this morning. WAMC's Ray Graff is here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
We also have our dear friend, corporate attorney Rich Honan, is back. Thank you very much.
Good morning. Thanks.
Nice to have you. Nice to have you back. And have the death threats stopped? Is that from the last time you were here?
Your folks are too polite. For,
okay.
For,
all right. Just check it. And essayist, author, editor, and activist Barbara Smith is here. Thank you very much.
How is everybody?
Wonderful. Very nice to have you here. And nice to see you a couple times this week. So let's talk about the news of the day. Of course, still what is dominating headlines, as well it should, is the story out of San Bernardino. And there, you know, what a day can do. 24 hours ago on this program, we were discussing this story and assuming that it was mostly a workplace issue, assuming that it was a disgruntled employee. Of course, there were still great questions about the weapons and where the weapons came from. And there was still that possibility of terrorism, but because it was a workplace which confined to that particular workplace, that is what we focused on yesterday, as many other news outlets did as well. Then the president spoke in the morning and said that we can't rule out the fact that it is terrorism. And now we see we know much more about the couple suspected of killing 14 people in San Bernardino, California. They had built more than a dozen pipe bombs and stockpiled thousands of rounds of ammunition. They have left a trail of clues. However, law enforcement officials are saying that no clear motive emerges. The FBI has taken over this case, and we are left with many, many questions.
I'm shocked that as of yesterday morning, you were still at the workplace violence stage.
Why?
Because I'm trying to get the chronology right. So yesterday was Thursday morning.
Yes.
I mean, by then, what new evidence came into you that to you tipped it over from workplace violence to terrorism?
First of all, I think it was the stockpile of the weapons and the...
Didn't we? I thought we knew that late the night that it happened. I thought that we knew
from
that.
From the house?
Yeah. Or was that the next night?
We didn't know that.
Okay.
Till yesterday afternoon, I believe. Because the way the president announced it yesterday was that they weren't closing the door on this. They didn't know if it was a workplace issue or this was maybe 10, what was it, 10:30 yesterday morning, right? Just not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And,
right, Chief.
All right. Okay. I won't be. I'm shocked that at that point he was still, you know, clinging to this theory that it was anything other than terrorism.
Okay, but. So let me ask you the opposite question. What was the tipping point for you?
Well, let's start with the fact that we all come at this from our own ideology. I did do some reading on standpoint theory.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so you know, we see it through our prism. So my first thought was, I wonder if this is terrorism. And then
I think that was everyone's first thought.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if that was.
I actually wondered too.
Okay.
Sure. I think that was.
Yeah.
And even the sheriff at the very first press conference, the sheriff got up and said, "I know the question you all have is this terrorism?"
No, that was the FBI who said that, which was to me. And I was actually driving out, so I was hearing the story actually not only from a journalistic standpoint, I was hearing the story evolve, and it was interesting. That was the FBI who said that. He said, okay. "I know everybody's going to ask this because you're thinking, why is the FBI there?"
Yeah.
Right. And the fact that the FBI was involved and then stayed in, I thought kind of early on, the fact that they said, well, we want him involved in the beginning.
And I thought
that was an indication.
By the way, we mentioned that yesterday on the program several times, that there were so many questions, and that why was so little information being released? Why did we not know more names? Why did we not? And that information I think it was that they were getting doing their investigation.
You were saying why weren't the names of the victims released?
The names of the victims were not released. We did not know the names. We knew the names of the assailants, but we didn't know the connection had not fully been made as to their connection, that one was actually an employee. All of that sort of dribbled out.
It's hard to remember exactly the timeline, because these are such shocking incidents. I think that we are affected by the trauma of them as well.
Right.
I think, you know, like we can look back and see what was online or what was available at a particular hour. But the major thing is that we are suffering under incredible violence, unexpected, feeling that things are very much out of control. I wondered if it was terrorism as well. So I don't know if that's ideological. I think that
just a sign of the times.
Yeah.
Right. But I do think the fact that people are very upset. I was watching, as usual, morning Joe before coming to talk to my Joe.
Yeah, thank you.
But in any of the one I prefer. But in any event, they were talking about how foot dragging the president is on just, you know, going full throttle about this. And I thought that was what leadership was about, that you were not an alarmist, that you just tried to deal with the facts as they unfolded.
But by the same token, as a leader, don't you want to also say, look, I have your backs, I have you covered, here's what we're going to do, mm-hmm. regardless of what we call it, whether it's mm-hmm. terrorism mm-hmm. or murder, here's what I'm going to do right now to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
That, and so I think that is what I'm not hearing right
I
now.
See.
I'm seeing like sort of a struggle over words and what they mm-hmm. mean, and it's not really actions.
Right.
But do we know? Because I understand Barbara's point. It's that leadership where you have to figure out what the situation is before you move forward. And I don't. There's
well, we
so
know
many...
14 people died, regardless of what you call it.
Yes.
Yeah, but what you call it matters in forming your response, right? I mean, it's terrible that in this day and age we have to break up. You know, what kind of shooting was it?
Well, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
but and it's awful that we're in that position. But you have to define it, because then you have to, because that it's the definition that determines kind of the avenues of your response.
Well, I think they definitely are treating it as that possibility right now, and they're talking about how the mail was connected to people of interest in the Los Angeles area. And, you know, there's the arsenal that they had, was the thing that was most convincing.
I think the first time that we heard a woman was involved, I think that was a sign that, okay, this is not your average work
right.
guy getting mad at a party and
right.
going off. You
right,
know?
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed.
It seems, I don't know how they can call it anything other than terrorism now, knowing what we know.
No, I agree with you.
And now, what that means as far as the response, you know, is less clear.
When you look at a situation like this, I think what is terrifying about it is that you look at a community outside of Los Angeles. It's what, 60 miles west of,
sure.
Or east of, east of?
It's 6 miles east of LA.
East of LA. Mm-hmm. Yes, because 60 miles west, you'd be in the ocean.
Right? Yeah.
That you look at this community and you say, okay, well, that, you know, you wouldn't think of it happening there. You wouldn't think of it happening at an office party. You wouldn't think of it happening. And I guess that is what is going to unfold here over the next several days and weeks as we learn more about the situation. But that is frightening that it can be any place at any time. And you don't want to cause this fear within the citizens. And yet there is that reason for fear. You look at how you mentioned ideology of how we all come out at it differently. The Ulster County Sheriff yesterday, said, you know, get your guns out and be ready.
Yeah. If you're licensed and trained and comfortable with your proficiency. Yeah.
I thought somebody else has been saying that for a while. I thought that's kind of been the mantra from sheriffs for a while over the last few weeks.
He
might have been the first New York one to say it.
Yeah, cuz I mean, we're on alert, obviously. We're on high alert. There's a worldwide travel alert. And we have been told by our government that we should be vigilant and aware. But this idea of having the gun, of having your firearms, what would that have done in this case? I don't know. What would that do in future cases? I'm not sure. And I guess these are all issues that we'll be working on over the next few days and weeks and months to come. But it is it's a scary prospect that it obviously
but entirely predictable and predicted, right? I thought that everyone has been.
Well, my smart aleck answer is, what difference does that make? But the more thoughtful answer would be to that is in the prediction that once you have violence, you are probably going to have more violence. But again, to your point earlier, as to what is the root of it?
Oh well, I thought that there had been predictions that we are going to start having. Episodes of domestic terrorism happening within the environs of the United States. I mean, I thought that.
Oh, we already did.
Yeah,
and we already have.
Right, and that it's going to continue, and that especially, you know, after Paris, the drumbeat got louder. Everyone was saying that, you know, across the spectrum, and you know, it's
no, I agree.
You know, and so at some point. We have to stop saying it's difficult to kind of draw the line. But at some point, you have to stop saying, you know, oh, my God, why has this happened? And you have to start dealing with the fact that it's happening. It's here. You know, what then are the steps?
And that's what I would love to hear, because it seems to me that every one of these incidents has its own profile and has a different MO. So, it's like the shoes on the airplane or taking off your shoes on the airplane. That was one incident that changed practices across the industry.
Or the clear liquids.
Or you take the box cutters away.
Right, indeed. So the thing is that I don't really understand how law enforcement professionals, you know, et cetera, how do they think about how they can fix everything? I actually, before this happened, when I go into a building, and perhaps because I work in a building that has security in it, I think about, but in other buildings, I think, how could somebody get into this building easily?
Yeah.
And the thing is, most of our buildings, you can just walk in.
That's America.
Yeah. Exactly.
Although, but less so.
In our building, they have to get by Ray because he's outside. Right.
Yeah.
Say that again.
Well, because I'm not having taking the air.
Say that again.
They have to get past Ray because he's usually standing
at the
door. Oh, okay. Right. Yeah. But the thing is, like, I'm going over to a college campus after I'm here. I can just walk in.
Well, see, I'm noticing, you know.
Absolutely. You're right.
I'm noticing, you know, when you walk into office buildings now, more and more you have to, you know, swipe your card or somebody has to let you in, maybe not to the building, but into the actual office. Lots mm-hmm. of offices, you know, the you know, the presumption is they're going to be locked. I know when I go to visit my daughter on campus, you know, the dorms are locked. You know, the kid, yes, the kids will let you in, you know, but it's not like the old days when I went to college,
right,
where you just open a dorm and walk in,
right,
at 2 a.m. you know,
right,
looking, yeah, for your,
right,
friends or something.
Right.
So, I mean, there's that.
But I'm talking about classroom buildings. They're not guards at the front,
right,
door and metal detectors at the front door of every classroom building, yeah, on a college or university campus. That's just not possible, at least not possible under present,
yeah,
you know,
situation. No, you're,
yeah,
absolutely right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about this issue. We'll get to the letters. We have many of those. We'll talk about that. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. And we have Ray Graff, Barbara Smith, Rich Honan. I'm Joe Donahue. We welcome your comments after the short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. We've been talking about the situation in San Bernardino and the shooting that took place 2 days ago. We have many letters on this issue, so let me get to as many as I can, and then we'll move on to other topics. Martin says, perhaps it's time to stop pontificating and beating one's breast and respond in the appropriate way to what is a religious war. In war, innocents are hurt. Better their Better their innocence than mine. Also, we have this letter from...
That was quite the dramatic pause.
Call him Jimmy.
Yes. The thing about guards at the doorway is that anybody can get a uniform through a catalog and pose as one. When I was on the ambulance squad, I would receive catalogs with... We would receive catalogs, and now I needed to be a fireman or an EMT, so maybe that isn't the answer. We also have this from James regarding the Ulster County Sheriff's call to arms. Speaking for myself and as a pistol permit holder who, like all of us, regards himself as comfortable and proficient, I cannot accept that the call of the Ulster County Sheriff for permit holders to carry their concealed weapons will increase personal security in Ulster County. The addition of several thousand armed but untrained individuals to public places is far more likely to result in unattended use of firearms and result in deaths than to deter or stop a mass shooting. We discussed some of that yesterday on this program. Stephen says, given the availability of guns in the U.S., aren't all Americans suffering from terrorism? I know I edit my words and actions with strangers because it's possible that that stranger is packing. We get this from Molly, who says, this is a letter to the Sheriff Blarcom in Ulster County. In light of the over 365 mass shootings that we've had in the county this year alone, don't you think that it is a little bit naive to think that everyone out there with a gun is a sane person who has the knowledge and experience to help protect us from further mass shootings? Your announcement only made me feel more insecure about going out in public. How is fighting gun violence with more guns going to solve this epidemic? We also have Clay checking in saying, what happens when a private citizen with a weapon kills an innocent person or a police officer in an alleged terror attack by accident? And we have this from S, who says the San Bernardino incident occurred because of a U.S. citizen becoming radicalized. I'd like to hear a discussion of what that word means and how this transformation happens in our society. This is something that Ray was bringing up during the break.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I've never even heard radicalized until yesterday, and CNN over and over and over said radicalized. So he was radicalized. If you go to the Middle East and kill everyone in ISIS, you're still not killing the idea. So there's no way to fully end the battle. Ideas can't be stopped by killing.
And I heard, I think this is a former CIA director or, you know, a high-ranking person who said, we can't get rid of ISIS by, you know, killing people is not going to get rid of ISIS. It's just what you just said.
Yeah.
It's just very complicated. And this person talked about diplomacy and, you know, other kinds of strategies.
Well, it would slow them down a lot, I will tell you, right? If ISIS has 60,000 fighters and we cut that number to 5,000, I feel like that would make a dent. I understand there's different arms of what you're going to do, and one of them has to be diplomacy, and one of them has to be, you know, understanding, and one of them has to be dialogue. But one of them at this point has got to be fighting and killing.
Also, one of you, I think Barbara made this point earlier, is that we're looking at, in a week, we've had two major attacks that we have focused on, the Planned Parenthood attack in Colorado and this attack in San Bernardino. And those are two very what appear right now to be two very different attacks. We have one that give me a second. They have one that is with a gentleman who seems to have mental issues, but I obviously was ideologically opposed to abortion and to that particular clinic, and so that is one issue. It's a gun issue, but it is also a mental health issue. It is also a cultural and societal issue. And then you have this shooting. So we lump all of this into mass shootings, yes, but the diagnostics of looking at what is causing it seem to be very, at least different.
Yeah.
Now we had Gloria Steinem on yesterday talking about it all being a that there are crimes of superiority, all crimes of people who are looking to be superior.
At least in that moment of control over somebody's life or death.
Right.
Is that the definition of superiority?
In that way, there is the commonality.
Right.
I'm sorry, Rich, what were you going to say?
No, and I'm surprised you said – I thought when you said we've had two incidents, I thought you were going to say the Paris incident and this incident and the Planned Parenthood
incident. I'm just saying in the last week in this country.
Right. But I agree with you there. Yes, the diagnostic diagnostics are different, right? It doesn't mean that there's not some things you can do that might help address – you know, all of them, but
I mean, what they have in common is that we sit here looking helpless. So we have a letter from David that I want to read, but we sit here helpless, and because innocent people are being shot and killed. I mean, that's the commonality as well, right?
Right.
And that's what we want to. So that's where that's
where the gun control debate comes in. Yeah.
Right. David says, "I fear that Americans are living in a room full of mousetraps, and the chain reaction has begun." It's a scary way to live your life.
I'm not sure what he means.
Well, I think he's saying that there is that danger and that possibility, much what Barbara was saying, of going into a school and not feeling that you are 100% safe, that anything can happen at any time, and that because we've had so many incidents over time, that there is a chain reaction and a concern that you just don't know what's around the corner, which is, of course, always the case.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
I thought he was saying we've populated our world we've populated our country or our world with weapons, and at some point, once one person shoots, everybody else shoots back. And,
well, I agree. Yeah.
That's a possible interpretation.
Yeah. It's a difficult. It's hard, you know, and I know I'm on the right wing side, but you know, to me, if you're going to look at a holistic solution, I think, you know, some addressing of the kinds of people who can get guns, and then, you know, whether it's mental health, whether it's other things, I think you have to address that as part of the entire solution.
So would that be background checks?
I'm not sure what it would be. I think it's a important conversation to have. Mm-hmm. But you know, if I were a person in power, I'd want to have that conversation. You know, if I was Paul Ryan or some, you know, whether it's Obama who leads it, whether it's Paul Ryan who leads it, I've given up on anybody in the Senate leading it. But before I have that conversation, I say, look, I'll have a conversation with you about gun control. But first, you know, Mr. President, you have to convince me that you're not delusional. And one of the things that I think I need to hear from you is, can we agree that this was terrorism and, you know, other things were other things? Because once I know I'm dealing with a non-delusional person, then, yeah, I'll have a conversation. I think gun control is an important part of the conversation, whether you're talking terrorism, whether you're talking domestic violence.
Don't you think that
But I'm not going to have that conversation if all you're going to...
I think delusional is too strong a word.
Yeah, I think that's pretty strong.
I mean, that's too harsh.
How could it be anything other than delusional?
Delusional in what way, though?
Well, first, trapped.
By the way, I was just going to compliment you on not getting any letters, and now you just screwed that all up. So there you go.
Well, that's why he's here, boys and girls.
You know, listen, I've been accused here of lots of things, but one of them is being trapped by my own ideology. I don't think delusional is too strong a word. To me, delusional is not seeing things that everybody else sees, or seeing things that nobody else sees.
Okay? Why create a panic, though? If you don't know and you are investigating, this is why I hate the 24-hour news cycle. I understand it. I know we have to have it, but we're trying to feed that beast, and we're trying to answer all of the very, very complex questions in a soundbite. And you know what? Maybe you can't do it all the time, and
I'm
you
with
have
you
to take
100%.
10 seconds to actually do it before you create a panic that isn't there.
I'm with you 100%, 100%. And I think that you have credibility. You have credibility when you say that. But I think somebody like the president loses his credibility when he says that, when the first thing he comes back with is, boom, gun control.
But the thing is, that was in the first seconds of knowing that something, what had occurred.
But if he had listened to Joe, he would have said, we need to get the information.
Because if he had listened to Joe 5 minutes earlier and any of us on this panel, the commonality is that innocent people were killed by weapons.
Yep.
And that's the commonality. And to say that there is another mass shooting in the country and to respond to that, I don't think is being delusional. I think that's being very, as I said, the diagnostics are different, but the fact that innocent people are being killed by guns in this country is something that if you respond to and your immediate response is, this has to stop, that doesn't seem delusional to me. That seems like a very rational response.
No, I think his response was, you know, right to the political response of gun control, and so what told me was, so you're not even listening to the possibility that it might be terrorism, which it turned out to be, which we all probably
suspected it
to be.
This thing about being concerned about mass slaughters occurring, and proposing a known antidote to them that works in other nations, I don't see that as being political. It's a political hot potato to talk about gun control in this country, but it's not inherently political to say, and by the way, if we had a stronger safety net around who gets them, how you're allowed to get them, where they are, et cetera, that might work. Look at Canada and look at the United Kingdom. Are there as many people who are living with mental illness in those countries as there are here? Probably.
I don't know the answer to that.
Well, the thing is, on an epidemiological level, public health level, we can assume that most illnesses are spread across human populations in similar percentages. So the thing is that I don't think that any country, like, this is where all the crazy people are, excuse me for using that term,
right,
and this is where the people who are not living with mental illnesses, yes, we may have cancer corridors or something like that, but cancer is in all countries, heart disease is in all countries, mental illnesses are in all countries, yet we don't see the mass slaughters in those two countries that I just mentioned.
I want to read the president's response. Here's a transcript of the president's comment. It's still an active situation. FBI is on the ground offering assistance to local officials as they need it. It does appear that there are going to be some casualties. This is the first statement. And obviously our hearts...
That's not the first statement, Joe. That was not his first statement. His first statement was made when he was being interviewed by CBS.
No, this is what he's saying. And obviously our hearts go out to the victims and families. The one thing we do know is that we have a pattern now of mass shootings in this country, and that no parallel anywhere else in the world. And there are some steps we could take, not to eliminate every one of these mass shootings, but to improve the odds that they don't happen as frequently. Common sense, gun safety laws, stronger background checks. And for those who are concerned about terrorism, some may be aware of the fact that we have a no-fly list where people can't get on planes, but those same people we don't allow to fly could go into a store right now in the United States and buy a firearm, and there's nothing that we can do to stop them. That's a law that needs to be changed. And so my hope is that we're able to contain this particular shooting, and we don't know yet what the motives of the shooters are. But what we do know is that there are steps we can take to make Americans safer, and that we should come together on a bipartisan basis at every level of government to make these rare as opposed to normal. We should never think that this is something that just happens in the ordinary course of events, but it doesn't happen with the same frequency in other countries.
And I listened to him say that, and to me that's a very political statement when he got into the no-fly list, which, by the way, is his list, right? I mean, he's the president. That's something he could and has fixed with a stroke of his pen. Okay, that's something that he has sole control over.
But his point is that you can't get on a plane if you have a background, but you can buy a gun.
Why is that? That's not my fault, and that's not your fault. He's the president.
Well, what's bad about? I'm sorry, I don't understand your point. I apologize.
No. He's saying, look, you could be, because I remember reacting viscerally to that statement. He said, so because I thought this is where he did get into the politics. He said you could be on a no-fly list, but you could still get a gun. And I'm saying, why is that the case? You're the president. Why? I mean, that's not my fault that that's the case. That, you know, you're the one in charge.
Well,
of this.
Our representatives in Congress and the Senate have not passed those laws.
When was the last time that Obama really wanted to get something done that he allowed the fact that he didn't have the votes to ever stop him? When he really wants to get something done, whether it's Obamacare. Didn't have the votes to stop cloture. He used a parliamentary trick. The coal standards that he wanted to get through, he did it through the EPA through regulation. He wanted to eviscerate the immigration system. He did that by executive fiat. He didn't want the Congress to vote on the Iran deal, and so he wrote it in a way that didn't involve Iran, and then used a parliamentary trick to have there not be ever a vote on it. When he wants to get something done, he just does it. He doesn't care about the Republicans. He doesn't care about the Constitution, and if he really cared about this, he would have done something about it by now.
Give the email address.
roundtable@wamc.com. R. Honan. No.
Don't do that.
No, I won't do that. So what is... Barbara, I saw your eyes get big.
About 12 times.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't mean to filibuster.
Yeah, I'm
kind
of... No, it's just like I'm kind of speechless as to how he would leap over Congress and the NRA to... accomplices.
Do you remember following? Yeah. I'm sorry, Barbara. Do you remember following Sandy Hook? We had.
I remember.
Joe Biden was put in charge.
We're
going to have these strong laws, and we're going to do everything. And every single solitary with and people will correct me on this. There were a few things that got through.
I remember.
But with very everything was blocked.
Right.
Everything was blocked by Congress. Everything was blocked by Senate. By the way, I believe we're getting away from the subject here, and we're on to a very different thing. But my point to your original argument that it is delusional to have this type of statement, that is delusional, I still disagree with you on.
No, I was saying it was delusional. I'm sorry, Joe. I meant it was delusional for him to not have come to the conclusion that earlier that it was terrorism, or that he was. I know he said it was still open to it. I think by then he had already been told. But I think that it was delusional for him to not start with the presumption that this could be terrorism. This is probably terrorism based on what he knew at the time, and then for him to start talking about gun violence. I think the presumption that he starts with. Is a presumption that's not grounded in the reality of where the world is today. 2 weeks after Paris, to not connect those dots in such a way, I stand by calling that delusional.
Raven?
I got nothing.
Okay. Do you find it if in his comments regarding following the Planned Parenthood attack?
I didn't find anything offensive, and I don't remember him saying anything offensive to me.
The question is still a mass shooting. So if he comments about gun control as he did after the Planned Parenthood situation,
well, I thought that was a more appropriate time to comment on it. Although as we've discussed. I think the mental health issue is a big issue. Although I think that guy was just a bad guy. I think he was just an evil person. Joe, I was talking about the delusion in not accepting that. Well, I've said it before that this was what was by then clearly a terrorist situation. And, you know, by the time, you know, by the time he's, you know, he's making that statement.
All right. It is the holiday time. It is a time of giving and sharing and joy. We're going to take a break. when we come back, I'm going to, as my gift to all of you,
change the subject.
Read the letters.
Oh boy,
letters that say "Stop the vitriol." Oh my God, stop that conservative guy. We'll be back.
I think
after
they're
this.
Talking about me, right?
Well, maybe Barbara. I don't know.
Support for WAMT comes from Amherst Copy and Design Works, offering printing and copying, sign making and design services from booklets to stationery and labels to lawn signs in downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, amherstcopy.com. Barley, Hops, and Grapes Red Hook, a home brewing beer and wine making supply store featuring beer and wine themed gifts for the holidays and gift cards, barleyhopsandgrapes.com. And Ichiban Japanese and Chinese Restaurant, Central Avenue, Albany, serving hibachi dinners, sushi, sashimi, curry soups, Thai, and entrees, offering daily specials, 518-432-0358.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. And very nice to have you with us and glad that you are all so calm. Let me read your letters.
I thought that was impassioned but not vitriolic, but apparently not.
One man's vitriolic is another's totally bad.
Well, we have this from Patrick, who says, we don't need to talk about the president, about politics, about Democrats or Republicans, about mental health, terrorism, or delusion. Innocent people are dying in the streets at the hands of other U.S. citizens. This is a public health crisis. Also, we got, okay.
What?
I suddenly went from 102 to 187 emails with one click because they are coming in that fast. So here we go. I am, for one, glad the president's response to this terrorist attack is and will continue to be measured, calm, and prudent. Belligerent and pugnacious speech will only further incite and provoke more of these attacks. We also got this. Please explain this, conservative guy. When a white male gets into a building and shoots everyone, it's a mental illness. But when a foreigner gets into a building and shoots everyone, it's a terrorism attack. Come on, be a clear. I think this was probably dictated to a spell check, so there are words that just don't make sense. But that's all right. I think we get the
husband, the male, was a U.S. citizen.
Yes,
for 5 years.
Every time that conservative guy is on, he attacks Obama the whole time. What about the Republican cohorts in Congress? He never talks about them. Are they perfect?
No, they stink too.
Vitriol, get over yourselves. I'm extremely conservative, and I listen to NPR all the time. It's being open-minded. It's about time you all stop preaching to yourself and have Rich on as a regular guest. Kudos. Also,
we
got
that one myself.
That's what you were doing during the break. Deb says, I think the number of pro-gun people who believe that the government is imminently going to overthrow all aspects of our federal constitution and control us citizens, so we therefore should all carry guns so we can protect our rights, are truly delusional. More guns in the hands of paranoid people scares me more than the terrorists have.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that at all.
Poor Rich. As interesting as it is when he's on the show, I prefer a president who waits to get all the information before slapping a fear-escalating label on a shooting attack. And Obama shouldn't have to be so clever in order to get things through Congress. Your conservative guest is doing WAMC and your listeners a disservice by making misleading statements about how government works. I don't know who he is, but he sounds a lot like that Rush Limbaugh guy. We have this from Lisa, very upset about the outrageous comments of your pro-gun commentator. I don't know that you're pro-gun.
I'm not, but keep going.
Okay. Guns are the problem. It is delusional. You're many, many things, but not, I don't think you're pro-gun. guns are the problem. It is delusional to think otherwise when people are killed by gun incidents every day.
Then there were the pipe bombs, too. This was a different situation.
Yes. We had pipe bombs and other, right? Were there other
bomb-making facilities?
This
was not somebody who was irritated at a party.
That's correct.
Stephen writes...
Yeah, but the point is, the people were killed by guns. That's
But ISIS also chops correct. Heads off. I'm just saying...
Yeah, no, I understand. But take away the gun,
they'll find a can opener or something.
I am curious. One listener brings this up, and we only have... out of time.
Hooray!
What did you make of the Congress shutdown of doing more data on finding out more data regarding gun violence?
Yeah, that Oh, on the gun violence, I thought you were talking about the NSA gathering shutdown.
No, the Centers for Disease Control have restrictions on them.
Yeah, that was awful.
And that's been true.
That's awful.
For some time.
Yeah.
It's just you can't even do research about this problem.
Yeah, that's beyond the pale.
All right. Well, we
let's never do a show again.
It was wonderful to have you all here. Thank you very much. Ray,
well, I figured for the last appearance of the year.
Ray and I thank both you and Barbara for making our jobs incredibly easy this morning.
Yeah, we didn't have to do much, did we?
Just sort of sit here and watch you two go.
Talk about the weather and the wind gusts. And next thing you know, it's over.
I just have something to say. I think it's important to have different points of view on this radio station.
Absolutely.
Whether I agree with the points of view or not, I think it makes for an interesting dynamic. And there are other people around this table when I'm on the panel that I don't necessarily agree with it either.
You are the most patient person I've ever met. You have been calm and relaxed. Right. I mean, pretty good. Pretty
I know. Good. I mean, it's not like the delusional guy over here.
No, he's out of his mind.
Delusional conservative guy.
And just by the way, you are always invited, and you do this as much as you want to, but I know you have a real job.
Well,
and
cover me while I try and make it to my car.
Okay, very good. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.